Keys to my house and the keys to my car and the keys to I want to give you some keys today. Who would like to have some keys today? I want to give you some keys, financial keys. It just so happens that just as we were having to have Liberty Trust with us today, I was going to talk on the topic of giving. And for very good reasons. And I want you to open your heart and get ready for God to speak to you this morning. Amen. Declare freedom.
Yes.
Come on, say freedom.
Freedom.
So I want you to be free right now in your heart and in your spirit of any sense of pressure when I bring up the topic. I'm free, and I'll tell you why. Because every single time I've ever spoken on the area of giving, our giving drops. So I do not speak on the area of giving in order to see more money come in, because I know exactly what happens. There's this sort of gut reaction. People don't like to be told what to do with their finances, and there's an initial pulling back from the table. So I'm speaking on the area of giving because I want you to walk in the blessed life. So let's go straight into the message today, which is called Giving the Dough. Giving the Dough. And I want to go straight to a passage in Numbers 15, verses 17 to 21. And let me read to you from the ESV, English Standard Version. And it reads, it's up here on the slide. Have a look at it. Let's read together. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, come on, let's read together. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I bring you, and when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall present a contribution to the Lord of the first of your dough as a contribution, some of the first of your dough you shall give to the Lord as a contribution. Now, I had to giggle because, you know, we use the word dough to describe money. And this is talking about, not talking about that. But it is talking about giving. And I want to give you 10 insights from this passage quickly, and then I'm going to dive into the New Testament. What are the principles that we can learn from this passage? Number one, next slide, please. Giving the dough. Number one, Moses was instructed to teach it. He was instructed by God to teach this. And church leaders, it's their responsibility to speak on the topic of giving. Now, you know I don't do this a lot. In fact, I do it very rarely. But I must do it because it is a key principle in Christian life, testimony, and witness. And Moses was instructed. He couldn't pass the buck on this topic. He had to give it. He had to teach it. Number two, the people were expected to know to do it. There's one thing knowing about something, it's another thing doing it. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I've commanded you. Not teach them everything I've commanded you. Teach them to do. The principle of the Great Commission is teaching followers to be obedient to what God says. Knowledge doesn't equal spirituality. Application of knowledge equals spirituality. Knowledge equals spirituality. That's Gnosticism. That was a form of religion in the days of the early Christians where because I knew something, I was spiritual. No, that's not spirituality. It's the application of what we know. And Moses was instructed to teach the people to do this, not just know it. And so I'm going to be teaching you some principles straight out of here, and I want to encourage you to do it. And if you don't do it, don't blame me, because I'm going to encourage you to do it from the Word. And if you don't do it, well, you stand before God on that one. Number three, was to be at the beginning and from the beginning. In this passage, he says clearly, as you go into the promised land, and right from the very beginning, he says, he taught them from the beginning, and it was something they were to do as from the beginning. It's really important as followers of Jesus Christ, right from the very beginning, we position ourselves to be givers. Very important. Next point, number four, was to be the practice of those who had received. He said, as you go into your land, as you received your bread. Hands up those who are on the receiving end of the goodness of God. Would you please place your hand up? Every hand should be going up. Absolutely. And having received, we should, very simple. Next point, shall be presented to the Lord. So this, a certain amount of our dough should go and be presented to the Lord. And yes, we must, and according to New Testament scripture, we'll look at it shortly, be really open to be giving as God directs to other needy people and to circumstances and situations, but we're realizing we're giving as to the Lord. Next point, number six, is a contribution. Three times in this passage, contribution, contribution, contribution. Are you contributing? Are you contributing? You should be. Everyone should be contributing. A contribution, giving something. Next point, number seven. Is part of the first part of the dough. In other words, before it all goes and you say, what's left? Decide really early on what you're giving. Right from the beginning, before it's all gone. That's the basic principle of it. It's not like what's left, I'll throw that in the offering. That's all I can afford. Well, wait up. What did you spend your money on this week? You know, did you think about that before you bought that, before you bought that, and before you bought that? There is a principle in here in the Old Testament about what's called first fruits. Number eight was highlighted and emphasized. In this passage, clearly, God instructs Moses to emphasize this practice as a contribution, a contribution, a contribution. You see, right from the very beginning, the children of Israel, they set aside a whole tribe to serve God. Their job was to pick up tent, put down tent. Their job was to serve the nation. And unless the nation gave, they couldn't do what they needed to do. And so everyone was to contribute. Next point. Was to be modeled to future generations. I like that. They were to give in such a way so that all future generations would know the practice of giving. And last point was to be practiced by future generations. Having been modeled, it was to be practiced. These are insights we get from this passage. What does the New Testament specifically say about the area of giving? Well, let's open our Bibles together and just go for a journey through this. Next slide, please, Jackson. In 1 Corinthians, that's right, they'll all turn up at the same time. That's giving you time to write these down. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What I wanted to do was slow right down, and instead of having the scriptures on the slides, I wanted to encourage you to turn to your Bible yourself and look at these things to see if they are so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3, we read these words. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the Lord say the same? The law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not speak entirely for our sake? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in the hope, and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve in the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, scripturally, we should be giving to those who are serving in the church. This is in the context of church. Those who serve us, we should be giving towards them. And so oftentimes when the offering comes around on Sunday, it is to serve, provide, give, so that those who are in a full-time capacity can receive support. But Paul says, now listen, he said, I'm not asking for the money. I would rather cover my own expenses, and at times he did as a tent maker. I would rather cover my own expenses, but that doesn't take away the importance of me teaching this truth. And so, I think it's important for us to be aware that as far as Paul was concerned, we should all be giving an acknowledgement for those who are serving us. Clear as crystal. Let's go to the next scripture. 2 Corinthians 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read these words. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, they were going through hard times. Their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. What sort of poverty? Extreme. Have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. So Lynette and I have been to Myanmar. And we've seen people, when it's come to church, giving a tithe of their rice. Little plastic bag with a handful of rice, and they give that, and that's all they can give. A tithe of their food. On their first visit there, one guy came up, gave me an envelope, and inside was a crisp, new $1 note. Pardon? We still got it. And that was like a fortune. I was humbled. And he presented to me and he said, my dear brother, please come back and serve us. I want to help you do that. He gave me his dollar. And see, that's generosity in extreme poverty. For they gave according to their means. Now, here they were poor, but they still gave. But here's an interesting one. They gave according to their means. Very important principle here. I'm going to expand it shortly. As I can testify, and beyond their means. Wow, they gave sacrificially of their own accord. Here's the point. They gave according to their needs, and beyond their needs. Beyond their means, of their own accord. There was no manipulation. There was no big pressure. There was no twisting of the arm, no compelling environment to try and squeeze every dollar out. begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So here are these people in extreme poverty, gave according to their means and beyond their means to help other brothers and sisters in extreme poverty.
And this, not as we expected.
But they gave themselves first to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. In other words, Titus, good job. You've obviously been inputting and teaching the people as a leader. The people have been gathering the money, and we're encouraging him to just keep on this wonderful direction into the lives of the people. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in the act of grace also. This is in the context of giving. He's calling giving as an act of grace. I see this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Amen. And in this matter, I give my judgment, this benefits you. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. He's saying, for a whole year you've been saving your money, for a whole year you've been giving to the poor, you desired to do it and you did it. Just a pause. Something got nothing to do with this. We're planning a family camp, everybody. About this time next year. It's going to be great. And if you save $2 a week for the next 52 weeks, for every family member that wants to come along, you'll be all ready to go. Everything paid. So drop that little $2 coin in. Try and save that money. We'll do what we can to ensure everyone gets, so that those who just don't have all the money, we want to make sure everyone comes to camp. So get ready. September next year. It might be October. It's around about September, October. And it's going to be a great time together. Who'd love to do a family camp? Wouldn't that be great? So just slot that away. So now finish doing it as well. So not only did they desire a year ago to give, but they did it. So having now finished and doing it as well, so in your readiness and desiring, it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, It is acceptable according to what a person has. Here's the point. In the area, he said, is giving, it's acceptable to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. We give according to what we have, not according to what we don't have. So there was a stage when my mum became a Christian. And she said, oh, Tony, I can't see myself going door to door and open ears. That's what you do. I can't see myself doing that. I said, what would you like to do for the Lord? She says, I like giving. Great, do that. She was a businesswoman. And so she started giving generously to all fields. But it was almost like immediately having made and was making big dollars, all of a sudden things started to dry up financially for her. And she kept on giving and giving and giving and ended up with in a huge hole. And we jumped in to help out. And she was confused. I thought in the giving I would be on the receiving end. Or at least not sort of going backwards like this. And I said, Mum, I said, we give out of what God's given us, out of what we have, not what we don't have. You outgave what you should have given. And also, I think you're under some sort of attack because I believe you're called to give. In the very area you're graced, you've been attacked. And there were some things she needed to learn. And sometimes I've heard stories of people out of a real generous heart give so much, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in a big hole. And they say, "Where are you, God?" Well, I think they just presumed too much. By the way, presumption in this Bible is called a sin. And in our giving, we should be spirit-led. And sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we all get it wrong. Hands up those who sometimes have got it wrong. We're all here in the same boat. All got it wrong at times. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathers much has nothing left over, and whoever gathers little has no lack. There's a lot
that I could really unpack
from this passage, but I just want to say right now, from the very beginning, right up front, Lynette and I, we've given 10% of our giving because of our tithe for years and years and years. But not under law. That's just been a figure we aimed at, and on top, we've sought to give on top of that. But I want to say right now, up front, you cannot prove in New Testament Scripture the tithe for the church. You will not hear that often in pulpits, because the potential then is for people to stop giving. But I want to free you right now from feeling that under some sort of law you must give 10%. The Bible's a lot clearer about how the church, how we should respond. Everything. You are free from the 10%, everybody. God just wants everything. Now, if you want to say, listen, under the law they gave 10, and I'm gonna go from there, that's great. But do not give out of external compulsion. Bible's really clear about that. Yes, you can give sometimes at great sacrifice. I love the story of Jesus, and listen, it should be the New Testament, especially the teachings of Jesus, we should always look to. What about the very wealthy who gave out of their abundance, and Jesus is sitting there at the money, at the offering container, watching everybody give the big notes, the big dollars. But what grabs his attention is the widow who gave all she had, and it was only a few coins. And God wants our heart. Now, I'm not telling you to give. I'm telling you that you've been purchased with a price. Okay? As far as God's concerned, the owner of your car is God. The owner of your house is God. The owner of your food is God. The owner of your fridge is God. The owner of everything is God. And if he says, make your bed available. If he says, take someone on your car over to that venue, let them borrow your car. If he says, provide a meal. If he says, give that gift, what should our response be? Okay, it's that simple. He owns it all. I do believe we should all contribute something. Something. You see, the power of a seed, the power of a contribution, is that we all play our part. But if we position ourselves and say, I'm in no position to give whatsoever, that's actually not true. Compared to the rest of the world, you are amongst the most wealthy. And if our brothers and sisters can collect a little bit of rice to give on their Sunday, you and I can do something. So I want to encourage you to embrace the concept of contribution. But understand that God owns it all. Now, you might be having problems with me saying there is no New Testament. You might say, didn't Jesus say to the religious people, you know, you should do all these laws and the tithe? Yes, he did. But who did he say that to? The Jews. Those who were under the law, under the law. He said, yeah, do that and this and that, and give the tithe, tithe the mint and hue. Give it all. But that was never transposed to the church. Now, if you want to give 10%, that's great. And I've been graced, and Lynette and I have been blessed with our posture of giving. And there's no doubt about it, it's way more blessed to give than receive. There is a reward that comes with a generous life. So, live a contributing life. Be a giver. If you want to make it 10%, great. But don't tell people that it should be 10%, because actually it wasn't 10% in the Old Testament. The money that was to be given was actually to help the whole society function. It was a form of tax. And it was to serve those who are serving society. Like what we do with our tax these days. And it was way more than 10%. When you actually calculate it, it was like 30-something percent. So, you really want to give, I mean, I don't mind if you really want to give 30-something percent every Sunday. If you really want to be Old Testament biblically correct, you're welcome to do that. But I want to free you from that. But I want you to live the blessed life. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy 5, in verse 7, we read these words. 1 Timothy 5:17 should say, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Worthy of double honor. That's not just respect, that's actually talking about financial acknowledgement. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. After church today, we're going to take the elders out for dinner. And they serve, they give hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of their time. No financial remuneration. And once a year, we shout the elders out for a meal. Now, we don't go to the Hyatt. We don't go to a swanky restaurant. I mean, there is no swanky restaurant in Levin. But we'll go to place up the road. What's that place called? The Avenue. And we'll sit down and have a roast meal together. And as a church, will be paying the bill. Because we want to honor those who serve. Amen? It's a small thing. And a way of acknowledging those who give so much. And but carrying on verse 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages. And so, Karen does a lot of work here. What a blessing Karen is. And as we give because she deserves a wage. And I receive some money to help pay for some expenses. I really appreciate that. And so it should be. Now, if I choose not to accept that money, if I choose to do hours, volunteer hours, as Karen does, without remuneration, that's our option. But it's our responsibility as the church to acknowledge those who serve us. Are we all right?
Amen.
Great. Let's go to the next. I think that was, yeah, that. Let's go to the next passage. Acts chapter 2. We all want to be like the early church. We say, oh, we want to be like the early church. Well, let's see what they were like. Acts chapter 2. And we read verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They sold in order to help meet the needs of each other. Now, we should be generous to people in other nations and to other Christians, and there's lots of examples of that in Scripture. But in our giving, it should reflect helping to meet the needs of the people among us. That's why at times we give away food parcels. At times we try and make things possible for people that they cannot make possible for themselves. And there is money that we collect that ends up going to help meet the needs of some people in our church who are in desperate need. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to know where that giving goes. We give to the Lord, but we're accountable before God in the distribution of that. And you can be assured that some of your money goes to some of our folks who need help at certain times. We'd like to do more. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Acts 4:34 reads, "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each one as any had need." Wow, that's like pretty significant. So what happened, there was a sense we're giving to the Lord. It was entrusted to the apostles, and the apostles then distributed to where they saw need. Every time on Sunday, when you give your offering, you're giving it to the Lord. You've done your part. And then we're responsible as stewards what to do with that. And we use it to acknowledge those who come and minister to us. And we use it to help meet need. And your job is to trust us. And our job is to be found trustworthy. So make sure when you're giving, it's to the Lord. Certainly pray for wisdom for us as we distribute it to the right areas. Again, Acts 5.
But a man named Ananias,
with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not yours, your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. Great fear came upon all who heard. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last. And when the young men came in, they found her dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Bates' principle, they weren't told to give everything to God. They wanted just to be seen to be fully surrendered. That was the lie. To claim to be fully surrendered but live a different way. When we say, God, you have my heart, and yet there's some things we will not give to him, be surrendered to him. That's what's been said here. So we give as God directs. Bit of a scary story about offering. I hope no one drops down dead in this church. Acts chapter 11, verse 29, almost finished this morning. In Acts 11, 29, we read these words. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability. Say ability.
Ability.
To send relief to the brothers living in Judea. I'd hate to see. There's some stories of some of our brothers and sisters in some Polynesian churches who are put under incredible pressure and stress in the area of giving. And they go find themselves in great financial hardship because of religious expectation. But it's not just among Polynesian churches. There are some other churches with huge sway and influence, huge pressure to give. Every cult I know demands a tenth. They're under law, not under grace. And if you're not giving your 10%, they'll come and visit you. Oh, yes. Praise God, you're not part of a cult, everybody. Despite what one or two people might say. Finally, in Matthew chapter 6. Thanks for your encouragement, Rowdy. In Matthew 6, verse 1. This is the teaching of Jesus. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let your giving, in your giving, not be a public badge in front of everybody about how generous and how philanthropic, how wonderful you are. Give without needing to be seen by others. Now, in this church, we encourage people to give and fill in. We give them a tithing number, and at the end of a tax year, they can claim a third of their giving back, which is really helpful. But the only people who know who gives are those who need to know. We don't make a noise about who's giving what and who's not giving. We don't do that. That's not how we're wired. And you could choose not to give a cent in this church, and you're never going to have us come and haul you over the coals on that. But I want you blessed.
Yes, amen.
I want you positioned. Yes. for God's best. And so I invite you to contribute. Contribute. $1, the widow's mite. A little bit of food. Making available your car. I know someone here in this church just made only one car. Someone was in a particular situation. Sure, go here, borrow my car. Use it. You see, that's great. Because they knew in reality it wasn't their car. It was God's. And so, this morning, I want to encourage you to give your dough. Let's go back to the 10 principles right at the very beginning, because I think the principles still apply in the context of the New Testament matrix. Let's have one more look at all 10 principles, Jackson, as we finish here this morning. Moses was instructed to teach. I've been sharing it with you today. The people were expected to know and do it. You are expected to know, and you now know, and do it. Now you stand accountable before God on that. Number 3, was to be at the beginning and from the beginning. The moment I started making a wage, I made giving a part of my life. I encourage you to do it. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait. Do it when it's more convenient. Become a contributor. Number 4, was to be practiced by those who received. Number 5, shall be presented to the Lord as giving to the Lord. It's a contribution. We need your contribution as part of the first part of the dough. Determine at the beginning, before it's all spent, what you can give. Let God guide you and direct you in the process. Was highlighted and emphasized, was to be mobilized for future generations and practiced for future generations. So I want my children to learn to live a generous life,
so they can be blessed.
Don't you want that for your children and your children's children? Praise God. So, really interesting to have the couple with us from Liberty Trust today. Because I just felt like it was just all part of the whole in the area of finance and faith. And I hope you go away today, exercise, but not under any form of external condemnation or guilt. You should not have fit that. I freed you from that. The New Testament offers a far better covenant. It's all paid for. You're just not yours. You've been bought with a price. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Story is told of a guy who desperately wanted to give and he could not. And as the offering got closer and closer, there was only one thing he could do. When the bag came, he put it on the floor and stood on the bag, like saying, God, I'm dedicating, I'm giving myself to you. In our song we were singing before we got into the word, it was all about a dedication of a life. And so I want you right now to give God your heart and give him everything right now. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. When he has your all, then that's it. So I invite you, one of the Hebrew words for the word praise is yada, which means to raise the hand. It's also a posture of surrender. So let's just raise our hands and surrender to God right now. And Father, here we are, and we surrender everything to you. We give you praise. You've done so much for us. And we now, Lord, are sure to be submitted and surrendered in every area of our life. We surrender. We surrender. You have it all, Lord. We thank you for those who have given unto us. And we praise you for for the opportunity to give. Amen.